Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. I have a very special guest, Ryan Janway.
Hello.
Ryan Janway hosts the best IA podcast east of the Mississippi. That is the Tauntaun Riders podcast.
Thank you, thank you.
They are awesome. You guys got started right before we did and produced some amazing, awesome content. So I really, really, really like it. We'll talk about that in a second. But first off, just a little bit of logistics. We want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And we would also like to encourage everyone to support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest to give us any support you can. I am finalizing our Han Solo and Ahsoka alt art cards that are going to the printer, and they are going to be going out to patrons, and it is going to be awesome. But let's turn over the episode to Ryan. What he's going to do is he's going to give us an introduction of himself and how awesome and cool he is. And then he's going to talk about a recent regional that he went to. So take it away, Ryan.
Okay. So, my name is Ryan Janway. I have been playing Imperial Assault since I got the game when it first launched. Like a lot of people thought it looked like a really interesting game. Started up with some campaign play. And after a while, you know, got really interested in the skirmish game. I would say I got serious about competitive skirmish a little over a year ago. And so got a nice little group in the area where I live in North Carolina that we're able to get together weekly, play some games, test some lists against each other. So yeah, been working on my IA career for a little over a year now, I'd say.
That is awesome. And tell us about the Tauntaun Riders.
Yeah, so Tauntaun Riders is a podcast that a friend of mine and I started up, a guy by the name of Terry Floyd, as well as our other friend named Brian Sloan. We started this podcast last year, really wanted to, you know, sort of put some of our ideas out there about some of the content that the game has, some things that we were doing and trying out. And we really have had fun with it. It's been a while since we put any new content out, so we're working on that. We hope people enjoy it and looking forward to putting some new stuff out there, looking at exploring some video content in the future, I think. So
that'll be so awesome. I just want to plug, Tauntaun Riders is awesome. They do something kind of similar to what we've tried to do with Zion's Finest in terms of its more skirmish competitive focus, but not like single unit or something like what Twin Troopers do, which is awesome, but more focused on gameplay, list building, you know, skirmish.
Correct. Yeah, we wanted to take a different approach than what other people are doing, like Twin Troopers, you mentioned, who are doing a great job as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, we do like to try to talk about sort of the competitive skirmish environment that's out there. So
that's awesome. So tell us, what's your most favorite faction? What unit, list, what kind of stuff do you like to run?
Yeah, so I would say I'm a diehard Imperial guy.
Great.
I know. The power of the dark side.
Oh, man. It's too strong.
It's too strong. Ever since the droid wave was released last year, which I think was like early summer.
I think so.
2017.
That sounds about right.
I've really been playing Imperial faction pretty much nonstop since then.
Wow.
Really enjoy it. Was just really loving the Elite Jet Troopers when they were first out.
So good.
Yeah, really enjoyed Captain Taro. A lot of fun with that figure. Even BT. I played around with BT a lot when he was released. I thought he was really interesting because before he came out, there was really no long-range damage dealer in the Imperial faction, you know, and he's not much of a damage dealer, but with his missile salvo, you now had this option where you could at least attempt some long-range shots that you previously didn't really have access to.
Yeah, BT's, he's such an interesting character. I mean, he doesn't see a ton of play, I think mostly just because he's not a great fit in Empire in a lot of lists. He's
yeah,
a little too squishy in terms of, you know, for 6 points, 10 health, he's going to die in 2 attacks. His attack is just not quite consistent, you know? Like, I mean, obviously he can high roll and just one-shot things, but
yeah,
he's rolling 2 solid dice and 2 swingy dice, right? And
yep.
So that's just kind of how that goes.
Yeah, I would play him with targeting computer
yes,
a lot,
absolutely.
Which is good. He needs it, but now it's 7 points.
Exactly.
You know, into one figure that's not that hard to kill. So
exactly. Good point. Great point.
Yeah. I will mention that I love Emperor Palpatine. Ever since he's been out, that guy, I mean, Darth Vader is great. I think they did a fantastic job with his fix, but Emperor Palpatine is just so much fun to play with.
And
so many options, so versatile.
Yeah, Palpatine is like such, he's just a crazy threat on the board, because not only does he have his, you know, crazy abilities in terms of his Force Lightning and his Auto Pierce 3 attack, you know, which is totally fine and solid, but just the flexibility he gives with Emperor and with Tempt, you know, oh man, that guy, he's just such a threat. Always. He's always a threat when he's on the
exactly.
board.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very cool. All right, well, let's get started with the topic of the pod. What we're going to do is we're going to have you report on this regional that you went to yesterday. Tell us, give us the background, tell us how you did, make sure to emphasize your incredible brilliance on display.
I will try to highlight the highlights. So, to give you a summary of what we're talking about here, this was the North Carolina regional. It was held at a store called the Gamers Armory, which is located in Cary, North Carolina, which is just a small city or suburb right outside of Raleigh. So it's a great store. That's where our local events are held in this area. Really good people who run it. They do a great job with the events, so was really happy to play there. We had 16 people total that showed up for this regional. Yeah. I tried to get some information on the players that were there. I would say roughly half of those players were from out of state.
Whoa.
Just being on the East Coast, you get people who travel, you know what I mean? So I know there were people from Connecticut, New Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania, I think someone from Georgia. So, yeah, only about half the players, I would say, were from North Carolina. To give you a breakdown of the factions, I think this is fairly interesting. 16 players, like I said. There were only 2 mercenary lists.
Whoa.
Yeah. There were only 4 rebel lists.
Whoa.
And 10 imperial lists to round out this. So I find that interesting. Not what I was expecting to see, but
no, not at all.
But pretty interesting. I will also mention that probably between like 6 to 8 of these players, I recognized from playing at Nationals, U.S. Nationals last year, which was held at the Nova Open outside of D.C. So like 6 to 8 of these players that showed up for this regional were, I think they were in the top 16 cut at U.S. Nationals. So a strong field of players.
Absolutely.
Out there. So to talk about the list that I brought with me, this was a list that I just settled on probably just in the last week or so before the regional. I had jumped around a lot on what I wanted to bring and done a lot of experimenting, but I ended up settling on this list. Darth Vader with Driven by Hatred, Emperor Palpatine, 2 sets of elite riot troopers,
okay,
1 officer, regular officer, and then 3 upgrades, Zillow Technique, Rule by Fear, and Unshakable.
Okay.
So no elite jet troopers, no sentry droids. This is a almost entirely melee list with only 5 activations.
Wow, that's crazy.
It does sound crazy, yeah. It's got some surprises in it, and that was part of the reason why I wanted to bring this list, and those things mostly worked out for me. The strategy going in was essentially this is kind of meant to be a kill list, you know, something that is good at dealing a lot of damage. Some of the tricks that I was packing in the command deck, 2 copies of reinforcements for those riot troopers to bring those guys back. And then what I was probably most pleased with, bringing Unshakable to deal with the stun, right? But
yeah.
I also played 2 copies of Parting Blow.
Yeah.
Which I would use on Darth Vader to get extra attacks out of him and then be able to clear the stun with Unshakable. And that that worked great. It was.
Will you tell us what that card does?
Yes.
Just for those who don't know.
Parting Blow. Let me just read it off so I don't misspeak. It's a brawler card. It cost 2 points. You can have up to 2 copies of it in your command deck. It says, interrupt when a hostile figure exits an adjacent space. Before that figure moves, perform an attack targeting that figure, then you become stunned. So the idea is when Darth Vader moves in, hopefully in the middle of your opponent's figures, you can move in and attack somebody, and then when his other figures try to run away, you get to attack them again. And a lot of people were not necessarily expecting that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's not a common... I mean, if I saw someone running Unshakeable, I think, okay, they might have that card, but unless people have seen the combo before, they're not going to know what's coming down the line.
Correct, correct. So, so that being said, I think I will jump into my sort of round recaps here, unless you have any questions about, you know, the list in general.
Nope. I mean, I'm going to want to figure out how you did it on Nalhutta, but...
Sure. Yeah, that was definitely the challenge I knew going in, was that I was going to struggle on Nalhutta. I knew I would do well on the other maps, but I knew Nalhutta was always going to be tough, and it would just come down to the matchup, right? So...
Yeah.
So round one, I played, the first round of the day was on Jabba's Palace, new ownership. I was playing against one of my, friends from my local area here, a guy named Alvin. He was running a similar list with Darth Vader, two E-Jet, or Elite Jet Troopers, one set of Elite Riots, and then two regular officers. So this is the new ownership mission, the control, the... stashes for 4 points.
Yep.
So he started off on the side of the map with the stairs next to the terminal. I was on the opposite side. This was, you know, kind of what you would expect out of two Darth Vader lists going against each other. It was kind of a slugfest in the middle. He was able to control the stash in the Rancor pit.
Mm.
And I never sent anybody down there. I just don't really have the figures to afford to send down there.
Yeah.
But I was able to either contest or control the other two stash points for the whole game, the middle and the top. And this was a close game, but it essentially just came down to those control points and, you know, and some Darth Vader kills, and Emperor Palpatine can be really effective there in the middle of Jabba's Palace. So it was a good game. Largely just came down to controls and kills on that one. So won that round. Moving on to round two, I was back on Jabba's Palace playing the other mission, Spoils of Crime, which is the one that has you pick up the crates for 2 points at the end of round. I was playing a guy named Josh. His list was an interesting one. He had Emperor Palpatine. He had two sets of Elite Sentry Droids.
Interesting.
BT-1.
Okay.
Which is a little bit of a surprise to see today. He had two regular officers, and then Zillow and Rule by Fear.
Okay.
Again, he was on the... deployment zone with the stairs near the terminal. I'm on the opposite side. He sent his sentry droids out into the middle to try to get some early shots, and essentially I was able to get Darth Vader out there in the middle. Cutting down a sentry droid early, you know, really helped. The command deck that I'm using gives me... Since I'm not playing with jet troopers, I don't have to take the elite jet trooper... command card package that I would call it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, overrun, fuel upgrade.
Exactly, shared experience,
yeah.
Yeah, so it frees up some points for other things. So the command deck that I'm using here is largely movement cards and brawler cards, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I always have lots of options of moving the guys around that need to move and getting into position to make those attacks. So... on this one, I was just able to kind of push into the middle, get at those sentry droids, set up, set up a parting blow off of a Sentry droid that really helped just kind of neutralize some of that damage. And, you know, as I think this one usually goes, there weren't a lot of crate points being gathered here. It was mostly just a kill fest. So,
yeah.
And one of the tactics that works too on this list is putting those elite riot troopers out there and kind of having them be the only target for my opponent to shoot at.
Absolutely.
And in this list, I only have 7 figures. So it's fairly easy to keep the things hidden that I want to be hidden and put a riot trooper out there if I want him to be shot at, which I'm usually okay with because I'll just bring him back the next round with reinforcements, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Do you have Grenadier in your command deck?
I did not run it in this list. Looking at the command deck, I thought it was a little interesting. I ended up with 5 cards that cost 2 points.
Okay.
5 cards that cost 1 point, 5 cards that cost 0 points.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of this interesting spread there.
That's a cool spread.
Yeah. So round 2, yeah, I was expecting to be able to do well on Jabba's Palace with this list. So
yeah, good point.
Yeah, after 2 rounds, I was up 2-0 at that point. Going into round 3, this was a really interesting match, and I'll kind of focus on some of the this had some interesting moments in it. I played the only mercenary list that I played all day. In this match, we were on the Mos Eisley back alleys. This was the stashed away mission, which is the one that has you stand and control the crates for points at the end of round.
Yep.
Which I knew is a good mission for my list as well, because I can afford to position riot troopers on those crates, and they'll do a pretty good job of defending that spot, right? So
yeah.
So I was playing against a guy named Joey. I had played against him last year at our North Carolina regional. He was running IG-88.
Okay.
He was running an elite Weequay. He was running an elite Clawdite.
Okay.
Yeah, a little surprising.
I'm liking it.
Yep. He had the Rodians, Vento and Greedo.
Yes.
And then the Rebel Care Package in there with Gideon and 3PO. So a strong list, but it does not include Devious Scheme, doesn't have Black Market.
Oh,
which,
man, that's true.
Are things you usually are looking for, right, with IG-88 especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like I said, this was on the new Jawa map. I think I won the initiative role, so I chose the... on this map, I usually refer to them as the desert deployment zone and then the interior deployment zone. So I had the desert side. I feel like the desert side is... I prefer playing there. I feel like it's... In my opinion, I think it may be a little better for long-range attackers.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Because
there's that sniper box along that top hallway there.
Yes, yes. And that's why I don't want to give that side to like an IG-88 and Weequay list,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So
I take the desert. We do our typical sort of round one maneuvers. I spread, I use my riot troopers to open both of my doors, kind of spread my forces out. And at the end of round one, I am sitting on 4 different crates worth 8 points in objectives, right?
Yeah.
I did something a little... I tried a different move than I'm used to with Darth Vader on this one. I took him from my starting deployment zone near my terminal, moved him to the opposite side of the map, right outside of my opponent's door, the door that's... I would say on the back side of his terminal, if that makes sense.
So like the top side of, like if you're looking at the map with like the desert on bottom, like it's like the top side.
Yes, it's like the top middle. I moved Darth Vader all the way up there, right outside of his door. So at the end of round one, the doors come off and Darth Vader is able to move 2 spaces and attack his Vento, who is positioned right next to his terminal.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I put 5 damage on Vento with, Vader's 2 red dice there. So that was you know, pretty good. No dodge on the attack, so I was happy with that. And then round two, it gets really interesting. He had moved his weak ways into what I would say is the left middle zone, where you might set up a sniper's box if you're coming out of the interior deployment side.
Yeah.
Just kind of move them down, keeping them against the far left wall to try to keep them as far back away from my troops as possible, right?
Yep.
So in round one, he focuses both of his weak ways, moves them over there, and does prowl to give both of the weak ways the hidden conditions. They're both focused and hidden. His IG-88, I think he just kept him in his deployment zone. He popped him out, took a long shot at a riot trooper, and then brought him back. So IG is still kind of sitting in deployment zone round two. I see a play with my Darth Vader, who's basically sitting on my opponent's terminal at that point. So I have some cards to make it happen. I move Vader up to attack one of his focused and hidden weak ways, right? I know that I'm going to suffer some big damage from IG-88 as a result of this, but I'm thinking maybe this will be worth it. So I move Vader in, one shot, a focused hidden weak way.
It's huge.
Feels good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So activation is done. He activates next the other weak way that's sitting there. He decides to move the weak way out, I think maybe to take a shot at maybe Palp or someone else, maybe one of my riot troopers. But when he goes to move that focused hidden weak way, I'm able to drop parting blow.
Oh, huge.
Now I'm able to one-shot the other focused hidden weak way, remove an entire weak way activation before they get to do anything.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
That's like, I felt bad for him, but at the same time, it's like, this is what you want Darth Vader to be doing.
That's the combo. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's insane.
So both the weak ways are gone, and I have Darth Vader is now sitting next to, sitting next to his elite Clawdite, was positioned next to those guys. So at this point, he moves Vento out into the middle, the cross section area of the map. He tries to, I think he comes out and plays draw Vento's unique command card that basically gives him an additional attack. So he moves Vento out and is essentially able to do three attacks on one of my riot troopers, but is not able to kill and remove that one riot trooper after three attacks.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. So he is able to like bolt sling my regular officer three times and remove him. But now Vento is just stuck out in the cross section with five damage on him from Darth Vader. So I think at this point, getting towards the end of round two, he is able to use his IG-88 to drop Blaze of Glory. And he gets off four attacks with Relentless on Darth Vader.
Okay.
I think he had put a little damage on Vader before that, maybe with a Greedo attack, maybe with a Clawdite attack. But essentially, IG-88 makes his activation, two Relentless attacks, does Blaze of Glory, two more, and on the fourth attack, he is able to finish off my Darth Vader. I didn't feel too bad about it. At that point,
no,
Vader...
That's four attacks, and that's Blaze of Glory down.
Correct. So I thought I was doing pretty good at that point. The mission was getting close to being over at that time. We were running out of time. Like I said, Vento had five damage on him already, so it was fairly easy for Palpatine to step over, force lightning, and there goes Vento, cant on the lamb to get away.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one of just the great things about Palpatine, right? Is like,
yep. Can't mitigate that.
When you need to get that kill, he's the guy to do it, and the opponent just has no options, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So the interesting thing that I will mention about Palp in this game as well. I was able to get three different Force Lightnings off in three rounds, and each time was able to kill and remove a figure. So round one, I was able to Force Lightning... maybe this was in four rounds. I think it was round two, I was able to Force Lightning Vento, remove him. Round three, I was able to tempt and Force Lightning his E Claudite, who already had four damage, and remove the Claudite. Round three, I was able to tempt and Force Lightning his Gideon, and that was like the final kill I needed to hit 40 points.
Gosh, that's awesome.
So like...
Palp is the worst.
The value of Palpatine, yeah, it's he needs to be in the right list, but he is just so much fun. He can do so much work for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was an exciting match with some memorable moments there. I was able to, hit 40 points actually in that match. So at that point I'm 3-0. Going into round four, this was. On Nal Hutta, finally, right?
Okay, the first time
that Nal Hutta comes up. And like I said, this was the one I knew was going to give me trouble. It was always just going to come down to the matchup here. So this was Raining Freight.
Okay. Which is, I would say, probably worse because you have
I'd agree.
You have to spread people out and you can't just like camp people on those Terminator or those shield generators.
Yep, that's the truth. I would agree. And I was playing against a guy named James Hedgepeth, is I think his last name. I might be butchering his name.
A very, very, very good player.
Yes, indeed. His list is one that will be mentioned again in a bit, but he is running Darth Vader. Well, we've actually heard this list already from round one, but it's Darth Vader, two elite jet troopers, one elite riot trooper, two regular officers, Zillow technique, and then he was running Unshakable as well,
okay.
but no Rule by Fear.
Interesting.
So six activations, double jets, Vader. It's a strong list, certainly.
Absolutely.
It's particularly strong on this mission. I think I won the initiative role, so when I'm choosing deployment sides, having played a lot of elite jet troopers, I know how good they can be on the cliff side of the map. So usually I will take the deployment zone that I call the pond side, and then the other one being the side with the ruins. I'll take the pond side just so that the jet troopers aren't able to get easy access to those other lanes. So I took the pond deployment zone. He's on the other side. And with the list that I'm running, I really can't afford to split them up that much and send guys to like the far left side if the pond deployment zone is on the bottom of the map. I pretty much have to keep my list fairly tight together.
Yeah.
So I'm only playing in those two lanes that I have access to. This kind of went like you would expect it to. The elite jet troopers are just so efficient on Raining Freight.
Yep.
To be able to move around the map, pick up those crates, and make attacks. And with a list like mine, where I can't put pressure on them from ranged attacks. Yeah, it's really tough. So this was a loss for me. No big memorable moments from it. We kind of ran into each other in that main middle lane. You know, it was a slugfest.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, the jet troopers are just so efficient on this mission. It is very difficult to keep up with them with what I have.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So that was my first loss of the day. So at that point, I was 3-1. We've gone through four rounds. Now they do, you know, they take a break and figure out the standings, and then we're going to have the cut to top eight, right? So after four rounds, in the total field of 16 players, we had one person was at 4-0. And it was James, the guy that I had just lost to. There were five of us at 3-1.
Interesting.
And then we had five people at 2-2. So some of the people, I think it ended up being, two players that had a record of 2 wins, 2 losses made it into the top 8.
Okay.
So, I made the cut there. I think at that point, I was in third at that point.
Okay.
So we go into the top 8 match. This is the other Mos Eisley mission, the Concealed Treasures, which is the pick up and deliver mission with the crates. And so this time I'm playing against another pretty interesting list. The player's name is Jason. Don't have his last name in front of me. But this was another Raleigh player, actually. So his list was one set of Elite Sentry Droids. He was using Emperor Palpatine.
Okay.
He had one set of Elite Jet Troopers.
Okay.
He had BT-1. He makes an appearance again in this list. And then he also had one regular Jet Trooper.
Okay.
As well as 2 officers and Zillow Technique. So an interesting list. He's got some ranged options. He's got Palpatine to get those extra attacks with sentries and BT. He took the Desert Side deployment zone on this mission because he had won the initiative, and I think he knew that was better side for his list.
Especially with those E-sentries, that's like their ideal spot, right?
Because yes, absolutely.
They're protected, and they can pivot around if they want to like start coming up to do some double taps, but they've got like a good safe space to take shots from.
Yep. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense to have those guys kind of on that back hallway where they can move around and take those good shots and stay fairly well protected. So this match did have some interesting exciting moments in it that I'll try to describe here. In round 1, he was able to play Inspiring Speech, which I love doing. I think that's a great card in Imperials because you have such a hard time. We have almost no way of getting focused.
Yeah.
And with certain units, I think it's really great. I don't necessarily think putting focus on Elite Jet Troopers is fantastic, but a focus on a Elite Sentry is really good.
Very scary. I mean, that increases their range, increases their damage. They can use all of their surges.
Yes. So. Yeah. No. So I think that's a really great card to play with Sentry Droids. Really strong, especially great thing to see in round 1, right? So he's able to focus up 2 of the sentries. I'm moving my figures mostly. So again, if we're picturing the interior deployment zone on the top left of the map, I'm moving most of my squad into the top center area of the map, kind of in that desert tile where the moisture evaporator, the red square is. I'm moving my guys around that way.
Yep.
I'm able to sort of position my riot troopers so that the only things he can possibly get a shot at are, you know, 1 or 2 riot troopers in round 1, which is kind of what I want, you know, him to do, is to shoot at those guys. And so he uses a focused Elite Sentry to take a big shot at one of my riot troopers. I think puts like 5 damage through, and then he uses his Emperor Palpatine to give that sentry another shot and is able to wipe out one of my riots round 1.
Okay.
No problem. I have reinforcements. Bring him back round 2, right?
Yep.
This is where things get interesting. I had Vader at the end of round 1. I had him positioned really close to that moisture evaporator spot that's in the desert tile in the, I guess you'd say, the top right portion of the map. Start of round 2, he has one sentry droid in the narrow hallway where his terminal is located, and he has an elite jet trooper next to him in that hallway. So I see that as a good spot for my Vader to move in and make an attack. So I'm able to activate Vader, move him into the hallway near my opponent's terminal, play Death Blow on his elite sentry that's there to wipe him out, right?
Huge.
Then I'm able to play Dark Energy, which is another great card. I'll read that one off just for anybody who's not familiar with it. It's an Imperial Force user card. Costs 1 point. You can have one copy of it in your deck. It says, use during your activation, choose another small figure within 3 spaces. Push that figure up to 1 space, then it suffers 1 damage. So basically, I'm able to one-shot this sentry droid and then use Dark Energy to pull his BT-1 into the space adjacent to Darth Vader. Yeah, you know where this is going. So now Darth Vader, now the BT-1 and an elite jet trooper are adjacent to Darth Vader, and I'm right there in their face. He activates next, and he does surprise me with a good play here. He still has one focused sentry droid that's on the far right side of the map, kind of where that desert sniper spot is. He moves his focused elite sentry up to take a shot at Darth Vader. He plays Concentrated Fire, and he plays Element of Surprise.
Ooh, there we go.
So this is the rare 5-dice attack. He's rolling 3 greens, a yellow, and a red against my single black dice, right? So he makes a big shot on Vader here. I think he puts through 6 or 7 damage. I think I tapped Zillow on this attack and still took somewhere like that, 6 or 7 damage.
That's actually not that bad. I mean,
it could have been worse, right?
Yeah.
But that's starting to give me second thoughts about, is this a good idea or not?
Too late, so, you're committed.
Yeah, right. Darth Vader's already in there. He can't get away now. So next activation is my Palpatine. I move up Palp, and I'm able to Force Lightning this jet trooper that's adjacent to Darth Vader into BT. So I splash a little damage onto those guys, but I put, I think I might have tempted the jet and Force Lightning him to put 4 damage onto this jet trooper. And then I give Emperor attack to Darth Vader to attack BT-1 here. So now I had splashed 1 damage. I think actually that Force Lightning, I think the jet trooper already had some damage, so I think this Force Lightning actually removed him. So I splash a little damage on BT. I give Darth Vader another attack. He doesn't quite kill BT. I think he puts 6 or 7 damage through, so BT has maybe 2 health remaining at this point, right? So he's almost dead. That's it for my Palpatine. He goes next and activates his Emperor Palpatine. He's able to do a Force Lightning on Vader. So there's 3 more damage and a weaken. He's able to give Emperor attack to his BT, who is sitting right next to Darth Vader. Gets to roll the rainbow dice, right? And cranks another good attack through. I think this one probably did 5 or 6 damage, something like that. I think it was about 5 damage, because after this attack, Darth Vader is sitting at 15 damage.
Oh boy.
1 health remaining, right? So now I know that I've got to do something, right? Because Darth Vader's in real trouble here. So this gets kind of interesting. I activate my 1 set of riot troopers. I move 1 up adjacent to Vader. He's able to attack BT and kill BT before he has actually activated, right? Because the Emperor just gave him an attack in the previous round. So I'm able to move up, kill BT, get him out of there. My other riot trooper in this activation double moves all the way down the hall towards this desert hallway sniper zone that we're talking about.
Okay.
And I position him so that he's adjacent to my opponent's other elite jet trooper that's stationed back there, because I am expecting him to bring that elite jet trooper up to try to finish off Darth Vader, right?
Okay.
So I position this riot trooper in a way that the jet will have to come past him to be able to make that flyby attack. So, like I'm expecting, he activates the elite jet trooper next. The jet trooper moves up and I do a parting blow with the elite riot trooper this time, because he's also a brawler. My thought here is that the only chance I might have of keeping Darth Vader alive is to get that weakened condition onto the jet trooper and just hope to outroll him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, yeah, the odds are not that bad if he's weakened, right? I mean, if he's got ones. Yeah, so.
Correct. So I make the riot trooper attack. I put a few damage on him, but I get the weakened condition on there. He moves the jet up and goes to make his roll. He rolls 5 damage and a surge, which is like the max roll on a jet trooper flyby attack, right?
Yeah.
I roll 6 natural blocks.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was the only time I did it all day, but it was the exact time that I needed it.
That's you know awesome. What I mean? Oh, so man.
The weaken has taken away his surge. He's got 5 damage. I'm showing 6 blocks. Darth Vader lives, right?
Oh my gosh.
So he still has a few other units that I can see that he'll try to use to kill Darth Vader. So at this point, I couldn't help but kind of get excited about this, because I kind of start playing what I called the like constructing the Spartan shield wall around Darth Vader. I just start moving all of my units to surround him and block off all of these lines of sight. To try to protect him. So
that's awesome.
I activate the other riot troopers. I position both of them in spaces adjacent to Darth Vader so that I'm blocking, you know, I'm cutting off those lines of sight for my opponent. At this point, I now have 4 spaces around Darth Vader blocked off. I think 2 more spaces were like the walls, basically. So like 6 out of the 9 adjacent spaces to Darth Vader are blocked off, right?
Yeah.
The units he has left to activate are like 2 regular officers and a regular jet trooper.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, like my 2 black dice, I'm in pretty good shape against these attacks. So he does a regular officer attack, fully block it, right?
Yeah.
He 3 damage, maybe I'm able to block all that.
And Ryan, at this point, how many cards do you have in your hand?
I want to say I'm probably holding like 1.
Okay.
Maybe 2.
Okay. So, I mean, you know? your Zillow fodder is low, but...
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
So I survive 1 officer attack. I move my officer out of my terminal spot, run him all the way across the middle of the map to block another space adjacent to Darth Vader. So now I have 5 figures surrounding Darth Vader at this point, just trying to keep him alive, you know? And in doing this move, my officer is able to cut off the line of sight from another one of his officers. So now his second officer isn't going to get to take a shot because he can't get line of sight. So end of the round is coming up. His last attack option is a regular jet trooper. He was able to play fuel upgrade that round. So the jet trooper has a move to move exactly 5 spaces to get to like an adjacent spot where he would have line of sight at Vader. So he moves him up, makes the attack, you know, it's just a blue green dice pool there. Block that attack again,
huge.
Fully block.
That's awesome.
So Vader lives through the end of the round, right? I'm able to do his end-of-round attack against that regular jet trooper, wipe him out. And then start of the next round, his Palpatine is able to just force lightning some like a riot trooper and splash the damage onto Vader to kill him, right?
Sure.
So he gets him at that point.
Yeah.
But it was kind of an exciting moment going through just seeing all these attacks roll in, right? That's kind of stuff that you want Vader to do.
Exactly. He soaked up so much of your opponent's resources in terms of attacks, right? Like that was his fuel upgrade turn, right? And so that's huge.
Yep.
That's a huge swing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was basically it. Kind of the last exciting part of that mission was that I, at some point round 1, I had picked up one of the crates from my side of the map, moved basically my entire squad across the map into his terminal zone and right outside his deployment zone. And I was actually able to run in and score one of those crates on my opponent's stash point.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I got, you know, that I think that was the only objective points that were scored during the game, was I got 4 points off of that. But yeah, that was kind of the end result there. It was basically just cleaning up the rest of his units after that.
That's
big,
awesome.
Exciting Vader moment. So
very cool.
Yeah. So that was top eight. I got a win there. Moving on to top four. There's only one mission left that hasn't been played at this point. It's back on Nal Hutta. It's shielded. This time I'm against a guy named Lucas Davidson.
Also a very good player.
Very good player. I think he has won maybe three other regionals this season.
He's been on a roll recently.
Yeah. So
I think he's made finals at Nationals. He was Brett Kelly's final match at Maryland Regional. I mean, this guy is legitimately one of the best players in the world.
Indeed. He is running another very similar Vader list. It's Darth Vader with 2 elite jet troopers, 1 elite riot trooper, 2 regular officers, Zillow, and Rule by Fear. Very strong list. Again, on this mission, this map, Nal Hutta shielded. I took the pond side deployment zone. And this one kind of went like I was expecting it to. Another slugfest right in the middle, kind of having to send my whole squad down that main lane. And at the end of the day, you know, that list with the 2 jet troopers is just able to spread out and play those 4 lanes, those 4 shields so well. You know, my list just can't really play that way. You know what I mean?
You have to win the fight, the brawl, decisively. Instead,
yes.
Because you're not going to be able to contest objectives as well.
Yes. Yeah, and so, you know, it was a close game, but, you know, coming down to the end, I had removed a lot of his figures, but by the time I had removed them, they had already earned their points, you know, off of the shield objective points or getting their own kills. So yeah, it was just more than I could keep up with there. And yeah, those jet troopers are still just so efficient on Nal Hutta. And I mean, I've played them a lot. I think they're great units. This particular matchup, you know, my list versus this other version of the Vader trooper list, It's a tough matchup on a different map, on a different mission. You know, I might have had a better chance there, but just with Nal Hutta, these missions, it's a tough one. So
it's just too close. I mean, it's like, it's not one of those things where you can force like decisive actions anywhere, right? Because if his line is collapsing somewhere, he can move people away after he takes pot shots. I mean, like, those E-jets are just so mobile. So you know, and if you can't one-shot an E-Jet with one of your Riots, what it's going to do is it's going to take a shot, and then it'll be able to move 6 paces away, right?
Exactly.
Because it's going to get the flyby. So they're just going to be zipping all around the map, and you just can't keep up with them.
No, that's the truth. They can get away so easily, and they can just be anywhere they want to be on the map, right? So it was a great game, but that was a loss for me, and that was the end of my regional run there. So I basically ended up I think in the number 3 spot. The finals match was basically the 2 guys that I had lost to. So it was James versus Lucas, both running the same list essentially. One had Rule by Fear, one had Unshakable was the only difference. I do know that Lucas won that the finals again, so that may have been his 4th regional
That's
trophy
awesome.
He gets to take home. But yeah, I didn't actually stick around to see how it played out, but yeah, so it was a great regional, great day, a lot of really good games. And I was happy to get those fancy dice, and yeah, so all in all, no regrets. I felt really good about the run that I had there.
Yeah, that was an awesome run against a very competitive field. So now let's break this down just a little bit. I mean, just a little bit in terms of concluding thoughts. So Vader's everywhere, right? And if you don't have Vader, you've got Imperials. So I assume that a lot of this is, well, I mean, one is Lucas and James. They're not from North Carolina, right? They traveled in. So clearly there is amongst the, what do you want to say? Like the... some of the best players are obviously running a lot of Imperials. I know that Lucas has been running Imperials, and that's what he's been winning his regionals with.
That's something that, you know, I thought about on the drive home too, is you had this very maybe upper echelon of high skilled players that all decided to bring Imperial lists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were not a lot of Rebel lists there, which was surprising. I don't think that means Rebel lists can't keep up with it. They're bad, but for some reason, a lot of people chose to run some fairly similar Imperial lists. You know what I mean?
You know, the thing is, I've thought about this, and I would love to hear any of your thoughts. But we've been chatting with Brett Kelly on the Slack channel and just like generally.
Yeah.
Because his Maryland list, he is fairly confident of his matchup versus Vader. Now, obviously, Brett's an incredibly good player, and against other incredibly good players, they're going to be very tight games. But he thinks that Han Solo and Luke Skywalker have got a strong competitive edge. And I actually think like Han Solo really does have a lot of answers to Vader. He can hit him from very hard, very far away, right? Like it's not a waste of shots for Han to take Tools of the Job shots on Vader. I mean, he can put some serious damage on him. And Luke is, you know, if he gets Son of Skywalker, he's just going to be eating those jets alive. So
absolutely.
I think that like if the Vader list continues to be as dominant as it is going into Worlds, I can see a lot of things like Han Solo, Jedi Luke, really being able to... I mean, it's just a strong matchup for them, right? They've got
absolutely
the answers. They've got On the Lamb. They've got Son of Skywalker. These cards, they need to do huge tempo swings to remove those Imperial figures, you know, before they can get their objective advantage.
On that note, I'll mention the list that my friend and my Tauntaun Riders co-host... his name is Terry Floyd, that also attended this regional. He brought a Rebel list, one of the four. Very interesting list that I don't know that I'd necessarily seen elsewhere. Jedi Luke, Han Solo, and Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's out there, you know, and then you fill in the rest with the stuff you would expect. Rebel care package, I think a smuggler, maybe. I'm not exactly sure how you round out the rest of those points, but
yeah, it's only seven activations, and that was exactly, it's rebel care package and a alliance smuggler, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I think that is a very strong list, especially against Imperials right now, because you've got the multiple Pierce sources, you've got some really good attacks that you can dish out. So I absolutely think that Jedi Luke has a place at the table. Han Solo, of course. I think every Rebel list that was there was Han Solo.
Oh, yeah. Han Solo's so good.
Yeah. So I know in a previous episode of Zion's Finest, you guys had mentioned this idea that the meta could sort of be trending towards... somewhat fewer activations, but with more of these, you know, big single figures in there. And I definitely think there's something to that, you know?
Yeah, I would have thought, I mean, 6 months ago, if you'd have told me that we were going to be running five activation lists, I'd have thought that's insane, right?
Crazy.
Because you've got, like, what are you going to do against IG and his eight activations? Or, I mean, hunters generally, right? Because they're going to be running their eight activations, and you don't want to give away activation advantage to these figures that are just going to be able to remove all of your guys. But turns out Empire can do that, right?
Yeah.
They've just got such high value, high defense figures. They can pull that off. So,
yep, it's true.
I also want to just highlight, and you mentioned this, but I think the practice that you were able to do, and obviously the knowledge to turn a Vader rush into two Equays, into removing two Equays before they've done anything, like that's the kind of thing that people learn how to do with Empire that can just completely swing the game, right? Like if you lose two focused hidden Equays before they've done anything, I mean, come on. Like, what are you going to do against that, right?
And it's like, that's one of those things that when you sit down at the table and you look at the board, like you probably wouldn't necessarily think that's possible.
Yeah.
Right? Like you wouldn't think that I could lose both of these guys before they get to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, kind of just to touch on the list that I brought, I think some of the things I learned out of this was that this list is definitely got like a surprise factor to it, and that's part of what made it effective. I think the surprises mainly being the reinforcements with the riot troopers and then the parting blows with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
When people haven't played against that kind of a list, it can catch them off guard, and you can catch them doing those things where they activate a figure and try to move it away when they probably should just play it safe and make an attack before they move away from Darth Vader. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, for people that are maybe interested in playing around with this kind of list, I think it's got some legs. I think it's worth trying. I will say that once your opponent has played against like the riot troopers with reinforcements, there's a strategy to counter that, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
you can avoid suffering the reinforcements consequences if you play that well. But the parting blow is, even if they know it's coming, that's a hard one to play around.
Yeah, you know what are they going to do, right? Keep their guy next to Vader so Palp can come up and like do an Emperor attack?
And it kind of creates some interesting mind games, because once you've positioned Vader next to your opponent's figures, they don't know if you have parting blow or not.
Yep.
Right? And so they have to make that choice. Like, ooh, do I want to try to move away? Or maybe I should just stay here so he doesn't get the extra attack.
Yep, exactly.
So I really like that. I enjoyed that combo a lot. Something worth experimenting with some more, so...
Gosh, I love that. Well, cool, Ryan. Well, do you have any other concluding thoughts? Anything else for us? Pearls of wisdom?
Like you've probably heard from a lot of people, I am really happy with the state of the game right now. I've been playing competitive skirmish for a little over a year, and I think the meta is just more open now than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
Just thinking back to the U.S. Nationals, which was about 6 months ago, and what the meta was like at that time before Heart of the Empire versus now. Like, if you would have, 6 months ago, if you would have told someone that, hey, the next regional is going to be dominated by Imperial lists, they would have said, wait, what?
No way. With Elite Riots, they suck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I'm really happy with the figures that they put out. I hope the trend continues on that next release that we're going to hear about any day, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm told this week, but I don't believe it. So
Right. So, yeah, just really happy with the state of the game. I hope people keep enjoying it, keep playing, because the game's just in a great spot right now. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I just wanted to give you a shout out, Kenny, and the other guys that are working on Zion's Finest with you. I think you guys are doing a really great job with the podcast. I think you guys are putting out some awesome content, and I particularly enjoy the approach that you guys have taken with interviewing, you know, just various members of the Imperial Assault community, like myself and all the other people you've had on the pod. I think it does a great job of kind of highlighting the community that this game does have, you know? And you guys, keep it up.
Well, we very much appreciate that. I mean, the one thing that I love about having people like you on is it just shows you how strong the interest is in the game. And I feel like, I don't know if I don't know, like, if this was prevalent, but a few months ago, like, there was just kind of whispers, like, when Legion was coming, that people were talking about IA was like dying down, and it wasn't happening in our local community, but I got the sense that it wasn't actually, that wasn't really happening. It was just, you know, maybe we weren't quite as much the new hotness. And as we've gotten more engaged with the community in terms of talking with you, talking with like Brett Kelly and just everybody, like the game continues to grow. Like regionals are, they're getting more and more people are playing regionals, and the game's in such a great spot. And it's awesome to have, you know, you come on, and obviously, you know, you're doing really well in North Carolina. The Tauntaun Riders, it really is such an incredible podcast, and that you're able to get like such good talent to come in to play regionals. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think things are good. It's a good time to be playing Imperial Assault.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you, Ryan, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoyed sharing my regional report.
Well, it was very awesome. We want to encourage everyone to subscribe and give 5-star ratings to the Tauntaun Writers podcast. It is awesome. We can't wait for the additional content you're going to be producing. We'd like to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com and join us on Patreon. Send any support our way. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Thank you so much.
Thanks.